always good to have some laughter. And try to find some things that you can laugh about. You know, we cannot go through life all serious and dumb. And so it's always good for someone to, you know, to come along and just say something that will cause us to laugh. We are talking about, or in a series, about the kingdom. And today, my focus is going to be that the kingdom is about relationship. It's about relationship. I want you to think about that. It's not about a city. It's not about whatever there is, buildings and all and everything else. It's about a relationship, and we're going to be looking at that some more. Our main passage of scripture for today is Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And I would like to share that with you. And this is about Jesus being led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and on the splendor. "And this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus answered to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, we shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. As a text today, I would like for us to look at John chapter 1 and verse 12. But I would like to read the couple verses prior to that. And this will have to do something about what we are talking about this morning, about the kingdom of God and relationship. "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not recognize him." And here is the text. "Yet to all who believe in him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right," or we may say the power, "to become the children of God." Now, I want us to look at two things at this point. The children of God and God's children. God's children are all the people everywhere. I would say, for example, all those who live in Bellevue, in Summerfield, in Pedro, in Wearsdale, Oxford, Wildwood, the villages all over, all those people are God's children by right of creatorship. God created all of us. We're all God's children. But not all God's children are the children of God. There is a big difference. The children of God are those who have taken a step of faith and believed in Jesus Christ, opened up their hearts, and accepted Him as their Lord and as their Savior. Those are called the children of God. And so we need to keep that in mind, that there is a big difference with those two. Now, we are here this morning because we are the children of God. We are here because we believe in Jesus Christ. In verse 13 of John 1, it says, "Children," speaking of the children of God, "children born not of natural descent," meaning like a mother giving birth to a child, natural descent, "nor of human decision," that we decided that we are going to have a baby, "or by the husband's will, but born of God." You remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus did not understand this concept, because he asked the question, "How can a man be born again? Shall he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And so that concept was explained to him, that how he can be born of God without getting back into his mother's wombs and being born again. Do you see how a relationship has been created? God being the Father, and He has children, and there is a father and child relationship. And by the way, do you realize that God does not have any grandchildren? Do you realize that God is not a grandfather? He's not. My son Stephen is a believer. He is walking with Christ. And he has four children. That does not mean that because of his faith in Jesus Christ, that those four children are covered under the blood or covered under his faith. They will, at some given point in time, will have to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, where they can experience Him and they can say that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. God's kingdom is regarded as both a present possession and also a future inheritance. So let me explain that those two concepts. Or present possession means that we are all the children of God. We are God's possession. Right now, right here, all of us are God's possession. This is part of the kingdom. And future inheritance is that our lives that we live here now is not in vain, is not for naught, because we have a hope and a future that one day we will be with Him in heaven. And that is the future inheritance that we have, the kingdom of God, to be with Him. So first of all, let's look at what the kingdom is not about as we speak about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not about food and drink. Now, before I address that in more detail, let me mention a couple of things that we need to keep in mind. One is, the devil who called Satan tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, and here he tempted Jesus in the desert. We need to understand that Satan is a fallen angel. He is real. He is not symbolic. And he is constantly fighting and able to cause war, to overcome the people who are following God and wanting to be obedient to Him. This time of testing showed that Jesus was really the Son of God, because He was able to overcome the devil and his temptations. This temptation by the devil shows us that Jesus was human. And it gave Jesus the opportunity to reaffirm God's plan for his ministry. It also gave us an example to follow when we are tempted by the devil. Jesus was tempted by the devil, but he never sinned. We need to remember that temptation is not sin. Only when we yield to temptation, or when we give in to temptation, that when it becomes sin. And also, we need to remember that God promised that he would always be with us at all times, even in those times of temptation. So let's look at, first of all, the kingdom is not about food and drink. And what does the scripture says? After fasting for 40 days and nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God." Now he knows that he's the Son of God. He's creating doubt and fears. "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Folks, there's nothing wrong with food and drink. We need food to sustain the body. Not to mention that some may have had too much food. And that's a different subject. We'll talk about that in some time in the future. But Jesus himself provided food for thousands on different occasions. Food is important. Jesus was tired. He was alone. He was hungry. He was most vulnerable. And the devil often tempts us when we are most vulnerable. He will come to us at our weakest point, and he will try to tempt us. We, especially when we are under physical and emotional stress, the devil is going to come and try to get his way. The devil also tempts us through our strengths, where we are most susceptible to be prideful. We must guard at all times against the attacks of the evil one. Jesus could have used his divine power to satisfy a natural hunger, and rightly so, because he was hungry. But the testing was wrong. The timing was wrong, I should say. Jesus was in the desert to fast. Jesus was in the desert preparing himself for the ministry that God has appointed him for. He was not in the desert because he needed to eat. He was in the desert to fast. And the devil tried to come and to get him at that point in time, using his hunger to get him to change the stones into bread. I know that there are some of us, many people that you know, have set aside a day of fasting, whether that be on a Monday or Wednesday. Generally, a lot of people set aside Wednesday as a day of praying and fasting. And if you have set aside that day as your praying and fasting day, you're able to do well at breakfast. Breakfast came and you're fine. Whatever you decide to do, to stay on liquid or fruits or vegetables, whatever fasting or however you want to do that, that will be up to you. But then supper time came and you are with some friends and they have this bread on the table. And the temptation is there. Today is the day I set aside for fasting. I fasted, I had no breakfast, I had no lunch, and there is this bread. We have to remember that today is my day of fasting, and I will not allow that bread to entice me to break my commitment to Jesus Christ and to God. And so we need to keep that in mind. The kingdom is not a display of magical powers. The kingdom is not a display of magical powers. Just look at this. In five and six. Then the devil took him to a holy city and said to him, and he stands on the highest point of the temple, "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Now, I want you to picture what the devil is trying to do, his angels. Maybe an angel will be on his left, and they probably had his left foot under their arm. Maybe one on the right-hand side doing the same thing, lifting him up, one under both arms. They will take care of him, and he will come down from the tallest point of the building, and he will just come down very slowly, and he plays down. He would not even be hurt. And that's what the devil tried to do. And he used the scripture to do it. The temple was the religious center of the Jewish nation, and a place where the people expected the Messiah to arrive. The temple was the tallest building in the area where the devil took him. And from that vantage point, he could see all of Jerusalem from miles and miles away. And he said that if you bow down and you worship me, if you throw down yourself, your angels, I'm going to take care of you. Folks, God is not our magician in the sky, ready to do or to perform at our request. But in response to Satan's temptation, Jesus said not to put God to the test. We may want God to do something for us to prove his existence, prove his love for us. But when we think about it, what more do we want when he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins? God wants us to live by faith and not by magic. The devil used scripture to convince Jesus to sin. And sometimes friends and associates will present attractive and convincing reasons why we should try something that we know is wrong. They may even find Bible verses to support their point of view. My challenge to you is to study the Bible and know the Word of God so well so that you will be able to recognize the errors of interpretation when people try to take verses out of context and twist it to say what they want it to say. And the only way we would know that is that if we have the Word of God and if we study it every single day of our lives. And of course, if you need any further help, you could always ask Pastor Don. The kingdom of God is not about real estate and about a political ruler. Look at verse 8 and 9 in Matthew chapter 4. Again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the splendor. "All of this will I give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan." One translation says, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." You know, Christ's disciples didn't fully understand the kingdom that Jesus Christ was establishing. They were with Jesus for a little over 3.5 years. And they still did not get it. Still thinking that they would be a conqueror who would free Israel from Rome. They were still thinking about a political kingdom. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. And this was after the resurrection. And they were together. And he says, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They didn't get it. They were thinking about a political kingdom. But folks, the kingdom that Jesus spoke about is a spiritual kingdom established in the hearts and lives of believers. God's presence and power dwell in believers and the power of the Holy Spirit. When someone comes to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and as the personal Savior, they are becoming part of the kingdom. When your life touches the hearts and lives of other people, they are on their way to becoming a part of that kingdom. When Hope Community Church make an impact within the community and the surrounding community, we are preparing people for to be in God's kingdom. Church family, we need to be about God's business. And that is, we need to be building and leading people to becoming part of God's kingdom. So let's get back to the devil and what he's trying to do, thinking he is all wise and all this smart. Did the devil really have the power to give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world? Didn't God, the creator of the world, have control over all the kingdoms in the first place? But the devil obviously lied about his implied power. As he has always done, he's a liar and a father of lies. Jesus' temptation was to take the world as a political ruler without carrying his plan to save the world from sin. Jesus came to set up a spiritual kingdom and not to be a political leader. Satan was trying to distort Jesus' perspective, and his perspective was the kingdom of God. Not about buildings, and not about power, and not about, oh, look at me, this great ruler. The devil offered the whole world to Jesus if Jesus would only bow down and worship him. And folks, today, the devil offers us the world by trying to entice us with materialism and power, making everything so super attractive to us. But we can resist temptation the same way Jesus did. Always remember that we will not be tempted more than we can bear, but in the temptation, there will be a way for us to escape. So now let's look on what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is about the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And John 1:12, we already cited, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Folks, Jesus from the get-go, after his temptation, he returned to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. In Mark 1:15 he says, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." So many has this misnotion that God can never forgive them for the wrongs that they have done. Some people have said, "You know, Pastor, if you knew where I have been and the things that I have done, you would probably never tell me that God can forgive me." And all I can say, folks, is that God loves you, God cares, God does want to forgive and put the past behind. And He promised in His Word that as far as the east is from the west, so far will He remove our transgression from us. Cast them into the deepest of the sea and to remember them no more. Forgiveness of sins. And folks, Jesus came. What did He do? He shed His blood so that we can be free from sin. Because His Word says, without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sins. Part of our task and responsibility is, as Christians, is to show people that God loves them and He cares for them in spite of all that they have done and what has happened in their life. And to help them to get to the place where they can confess their sins and believe in Jesus Christ. The kingdom is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship. You see, folks, because sin existed in the hearts and lives of believers, people could not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the sin problem had to be taken care of first before there could be a relationship. In 2 Corinthians 6:18, it says this, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." We would have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can call Him Papa. He could say, "You are my son and you are my daughter." And that's the relationship that we have. We know a lot of people and some of our friends who are Hindus. And oftentimes the discussion would come up about religion. And not just among the Hindus, but among Christian friends. Talking about Christianity or talking about religion. And I would always say that Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is about a relationship. A relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, folks, that blows the mind of so many people, that how can a human being have a relationship with God? God is supreme. How is that possible? He says it, that if we confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us, we have now become sons and daughters of God. That's how it's possible. How can God be our friend? I could be your friend. I made a new friend this week in Jeff. We could be friends. But to tell me that I can be a friend of Jesus Christ and of God, that's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. And so we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The kingdom is about preparing us for a heavenly kingdom. A heavenly kingdom. In 2 Peter 1:11, "And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Folks, what we are doing right now is just what role play, living for Jesus Christ, be an example to the world, telling people about Jesus Christ, And all that we are doing is not just going to come to an end and that will be it. But Jesus Christ says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you to where I am. And that is the place called heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And that is talking about preparing for us a heavenly kingdom. I told you this before my sister-in-law went home to be with the Lord. I told her, when you see Jesus, tell him I said I. Now I'm looking forward in seeing him, but I'm not ready to go in the next boatload. Because I have a lot of work to do for kingdom's sake. As we close this morning, I would like to leave you with two challenges. One is, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your personal Savior, if you are not sure that you are part of the kingdom, I want to challenge you to trust Him, to come to Him. Let him take you in as His child. For those who are believers in Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you and challenge you that God wants to use us to build His kingdom. He wants to use us as instruments to lead others to Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of your Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you for teaching us. We thank you for opening our hearts and our minds. And help us, O God, to realize once more that the kingdom is about relationship. Relationship with God the Father, relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know, O God, that we can never say that I have reached. I know the Father, I know Jesus, I have reached, I don't have to do anything else. But help that each day of our lives that we will discover new things and challenges to get us closer to Him. And Lord, help us to realize this morning how important it is for all of us as believers, as Hope Community Church, for all of us to realize that God is wanting us to participate in the building process of His kingdom, leading men and women